Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, hello everyone. Hello, good evening. Hope everything is okay. I'm Kay Thompson, and this is Kay Thompson Live. And we have really a dynamite show on tap tonight. And before we start, though, however, I think that we're going to be getting a call in from the congressman, from Congressman Donald Payne Jr., and maybe he's going to be calling in sometime today. He's in the night. He might be. And then also we have a guest in the studio. His name is Janice Holder, by the way, and he is the owner of the Duty Free Shops right out at Newark Airport. And we're going to be talking to him about a number of things. As you know, we have talked about the first Duty Free Shop at Newark. Now Newark is Newark International, right?
Newark Liberty International.
Newark Liberty International. I always say Newark Airport, you know, and since that's the only one in Newark and Elizabeth, because part of it is in Elizabeth, New Jersey, right, Janice?
That's correct, Kay.
Yeah, I'm talking to Janice Holder, Olmir, okay? And so we're going to be getting into that in a minute, but, you know, we want to touch just a little bit on Boston's, on the Boston bombing, and you can get in on, this also, Janice, if you want. Eric Payne.
Thanks for letting me get in on the discussion. I thought you wasn't going to introduce me, Janice. You just started talking. This is Eric Payne. I'm once again sitting in with my mom. Wow, look how gray I look. I just caught a shot of myself on the camera, everybody, and I'm going to have to shave this white beard that I got because it's
not
happening.
Know it's painted on.
It's painted on, that's right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, unfortunately got the the violence in Boston, somebody, whether it was a terrorist attack or someone decided to do kind of the worst thing you could do.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that people use that as can be called a form of expression, or to me it's psychotic. It's someone who's crazy, they're sick, and they need to be dealt with. But whoever is responsible, hopefully they'll be dealt with soon and caught soon because, mm-hmm. you know, usually in my perspective, people like that are cowards. They'll come out and just let their feelings known and try to hurt and devastate people.
Yeah, that's so unfortunate, you know, with those families. You know, there were a number of people killed and a number of people wounded and absolutely awful. And Breonna Scott had just left Boston a day before that. So she was there, and there wasn't anything going on then. However, she was lucky because she was playing volleyball.
So anybody who doesn't know Breonna Scott, and that's not a worldwide name, that is my niece, my mother's granddaughter, in case you guys don't know that out there.
It's a shame what happened to the children.
Yes.
Watching their parents and their mm-hmm. loved ones run and the like. It's the tragedy that the family goes through.
Yeah.
Our prayers really go out to that.
Exactly. We want to let everybody know that's up there in Boston. Stay strong. We're all with you.
Yeah,
down here, Kay Thompson Live, GoPro Radio Network, as well as the rest of the country. So our prayers are with you.
Also, gun control issue, you know, in Congress now. That has been completely, you know, taken back a lot by the Republican Party primarily.
Well, the measure to get background checks, I believe, was defeated today in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing that I have. You know, people can always, when you're removed from a situation, you know, you can talk about it, and you could talk about it in a way where it doesn't really touch you. But I guarantee you, if someone like Ted Cruz, who's one of the main opponents of seeing background checks get passed, if someone in his family, God forbid, should be a victim of gun violence, he probably would have a different perspective.
Yeah,
just like that recent senator who came out in favor of marriage equality when he found that his son was gay. So it's unfortunate that people have to wait until that point. But you know, I think it's you know, what's wrong with these guys?
You know?
What do you think about that, Janice? As someone who works, you have businesses in the airport, so obviously a number of those issues are important.
In the larger scope of things, you know, violence in America really needs to be addressed.
It's
coming out with all these terrorist attacks and the like, and now we've got homegrown violence, and we really, as a community, need to say, let's really take a strong look at violence in our community and how do we address it.
Exactly.
And we have to, at some point in time, put America first and take politics and put it on the side burner and what's best for we the people.
You're exactly right. And I'm sorry for my little chirp of my cell phone because I didn't turn it down. And that's my cousin Congressman Payne calling in. So he's just trying to let me want to get the information from me, what number to call in. So, but yeah, you're exactly right. And I think that the whole the tone of conversation, where our discourse in the country needs to be toned down too. You know, it needs to, you know, when people disagree now, you can't even disagree without it getting really heated. And just kind of the anger that has been in the country since, you know, Barack Obama's been elected.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of people really angry.
Nobody really likes a black president, let's face it.
Well, even in the Clinton years, there was a lot of anger, too. But, I mean, obviously it's crystallized here when you have someone who's African-American head of state. And, you know, it gets us nowhere to be divided. And
also,
you're exactly right.
Also, we look at the movies. Now, you're an actor.
I want to talk about my business.
You've been acting for, I don't know how many years, and in some key movies and whatnot, School Days, Desperate Housewives, so many movies that we started. Malcolm X, you know. You know, it's all about guns. You know, this is a very casual show. We talk about everything. We laugh, we giggle. Because when Gus was here, you know, and really, we really miss him. But when Gus was here, this is what we did. It's a folksy kind of show. We talk about a number of things. We talk about news, information, education, and global communication issues. So if something happens, you know, in Africa someplace.
Did you say folksy?
Yeah,
folksy. I just want to make sure I heard that.
Yeah, folksy. You know good well I wouldn't say anything else. But so we're just talking about everything, and whether people like it or not, I have strong opinions. The people we have on the shows, I have a strong opinion. And, you know, are we involved with politics? Yes. You know, we've had a number of people on who are politicians. And are we in favor of Donald Payne Jr. in Congress? Yes. We were in favor and very strong about Donald Payne Sr. in Congress because he did so much, you know, for the black community in the 10th Congressional District in New Jersey. So having said that, I want to talk very basically about the thing that I wanted to bring up today, and that was about the protection of kids from bullying. And I'm talking about some of the teachers who are bullies.
So you're saying you've gone to the extreme, the other side.
I'm going from one thing to the other, to education, because I wanted to get this in. We're going to be talking about this on another time, so I can go into do it more. But there were two editorials and two different, the same paper on different months. One was in April in the Star Ledger, and the other one was in March in the Star Ledger. And what they were saying was the same thing I've been saying, that, you know, little elementary kids cannot bully. They do not bully. You know, if a teacher has a problem with a young child in the elementary school, what they should do is, if they can't teach that child, they should leave teaching.
Well, you're going to get some people disagreeing with that.
I know
there is a possibility to bully, but I think with the point what you were making, and maybe you
those
had mentioned this to me in the article,
yeah,
and that in their enthusiasm to curb bullying, that some teachers might have been going overboard in targeting some students as to be on the track towards bullying and that type of behavior. And
But when you're talking about elementary school kids, elementary school kids do not bully if they are 6 and 7 grade.
I really got to differ with that.
Right.
Elementary? Okay. All right, let's put it this way. If a teacher cannot control a fourth grade child, or fifth grade is getting a little bit going into junior high school, just about, almost, near middle school. But if a teacher, not taught school, Janice, if a teacher cannot control a 5, 6, or 7-year-old child, they do not need to be teachers.
That's different from a child bullying.
Yeah.
Okay. How the teacher has control of the child.
Uh-huh.
But bullying starts in the family.
Yeah. Okay.
It starts in the family, and then it goes outward with different mindsets that the parents have.
But I want to go a step further with that. Now, a lot of people will blame children and accuse them of bullying. There is no clear definition on bullying in the state of New Jersey regarding elementary children.
Let's establish what you're talking about, because you're talking about the teacher getting control of the classroom. What they talk about in bullying, and it is a fact that what kids do out in the schoolyard and on the way to school and on the bus, kids do bully each other. It's a fact.
But we're not talking about
the classroom.
Yeah.
We're talking about how kids interact with each other.
Mm.
And bullying is a problem in the United States.
Yeah.
You can't get around it.
Okay.
Even kids that age, they pick on each other, or there maybe there's one child that they choose to pick on. Now, what
but
you're
I'm talking,
talking
about elementary school,
that's what
second, third, fourth grade.
What you're talking about and what you had mentioned to me was how the teachers respond and react to a child that's might being a little bit boisterous or out of hand in classroom.
And then classifying that child as a bully.
No, that's something different. The issue of bullying in the United States, as you've been seeing in the newspaper and in the documentaries, is how children bully each other. That's something entirely different than what you're talking about, what we discussed. It's something entirely different.
But my subject was protecting the child from teacher bullies, because there have been teachers who bully children.
Right, which is something
different. And it is something different.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well,
please.
So we don't get a lot of phone calls about people talking about you don't understand what bullying is.
I understand exactly what bullying is.
That's a different type of bullying. Yeah.
But I'm talking about specifically elementary children.
Right.
Children,
I understand what you're talking about. It's a different type of bullying.
All right. But once I did once I found this topic out, once we decided we were going to do it, I called several friends of mine who also taught school. Now, mind you, I've taught school. I've taught the elementary school. I've taught second, first, second, third, and fourth grade.
Right.
And whereas sometimes those little kids can be pains in the neck, they are not bullies. And they don't deserve to be treated as bullies.
It's
there are some teachers who can't control a class.
You're talking about apples and crab apples a little bit. It's a little bit different.
These are the kinds of discussions that we have.
I see. So since we have Janice in the studio, Janice, we want to talk about your business and duty-free shops. And you are obviously African-American gentleman who has duty-free shops in Newark Airport and other airports. I'm interested in, and I know a little bit of your history because my mother and your uncle were old friends. But how did it start off for you in that business?
Yeah, it's I've got to go back to my late uncle, Edward Holder, who we have a trans a transgenerational business. Our uncle started in the early 70s, and it came with a relationship with Gus, his strong relationship with Gus that goes back years.
Years.
In airports, as large as they are in the early 70s, there were no minorities, women-owned businesses in airports. And any contracting in the airports.
Right.
And essentially, Gus Henningberg went to the director of the airport and said, "There are no minorities here."
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he said, "There are." And then from there, essentially, what happened is that he went out on the airport and went out on the tarmac and stopped planes from flying to say we need to get minorities involved in airports. And then the aviation director said at the time, find some minorities in the airports. And he went and found my uncle and seven others from cleaners to the like to start minorities and small business and women-owned businesses in airports.
Black businessmen out at Newark Airport, right?
Yeah, the Black Business Council.
Yeah, yeah.
And so from there, essentially, what grew out of this microcosm, this small trial at minorities in airport, the FAA developed an entire program for the entire United States for minorities and women-owned businesses in airports.
Wow.
And so now there are how many different black-owned duty-free shops about?
That's majority-owned. In the U.S., we're the only majority-owned, black-owned, duty-free operator in the United States.
Now, wait a minute. Majority-owned, majority means?
Means that
completely own it.
Yeah.
Okay, but the others that are?
That are usually what's called joint ventures, that they have a prime.
Yeah.
Someone who has, 60, 70% or 80%, and they have 10, 20, 30%. Because airports require now that each contract have minority participation in women-owned business contract.
You know, your uncle, sold jewelry to my sister and I when we were little.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we were in junior high school or high school. Yeah.
So he was a businessman back then.
As a matter of fact, he put us out of the store. We just went right back. We always wanted him to give us earrings and stuff, and he did. And we came back, and he was getting such a kick because we, all knew each other then. And he was a great tennis player anyway, just like me, right, Eric?
Yes. Not to say that you're not a great tennis player, but I just wanted to get back to Janice. And, you know, duty-free shops, for those of us who don't know, that I didn't know for a long time, were the shops in the airports that sell various things.
The products we carry that duty-free shops have in the airports, are essentially brands like Estee Lauder, Chanel, Clinique, Dior, Gucci, Bally, Fendi, Kraft Foods with Hershey's, mm-hmm. and then you know, some jewelry and leather goods and liquor and tobacco. So
fine goods.
Yes, it's sort of like the department store for the airports.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, can anyone go in there to buy, or do you have to buy on your way to travel, or what?
That's changed over the years.
Oh, it has, really?
When we first started, only if you had an international boarding pass could you come in and shop duty and tax free, meaning that the shopper didn't have to pay any federal, state, or local taxes. Or when we imported in from overseas, there were no import duties. So mm-hmm. we can sell it less than essentially what they would buy it on the street or in a Macy's or a Van Burgers or a department store.
And now you can go in
Now we've gotten some changes in the regulations. And if you're flying domestically, you can come in and buy fragrances you can buy fragrances. Or you can come in and buy your confections or the like at great travel retail prices.
Yeah.
But you can't buy liquor and tobacco. That's for export only for international.
Oh, really?
People,
oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So I'm understanding that we have to go to a break right about now from what Shauna has told us. So we want you to stick around, call in. The call-in number it was up here a minute ago. I don't know it off by heart.
323-679.
Is it?
0906.
0906. We want folks to call in. Let us know that you're listening to K Thompson Live, and we'll be right back, I suppose. Yes, we will be.
Hey, GoProto. If you're in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, aka Tri-State area, you're in the perfect spot to join a fast-growing community of energetic, political, creative, and eco-conscious activists focused on real climate change and environmental awareness. Now it's time to bring the fight to the airwaves. So we're calling all musicians, students, professionals, and earth lovers to get down with Eco-Socialist Horizons on the GoPro Radio Network and help tackle the greatest challenge humanity has ever faced. If you're interested in getting involved, and there are many ways that you can, both on and off the air, email us at ecohorizon@goproradio.com. That's Eco-Socialist Horizons with Joel Cavell and Quincy Saul, only on the GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. www.goproradio.com.
And we're back. Whoa, that was a quick break. I was looking down, and I guess the music stopped playing. It's time to come back. So we're talking to Janice Holder. He's in the studio with us, and my mom is Kay Thompson. I feel like a kid, you know, when you're talking about my mom. Put me on the radio. But that's what's happening. So we're also talking about how the Senate failed to just pulled up the NBC News website. The Senate fails for a background check. And I, you know, it's they didn't pass the background check. To me, I don't know. I think everybody deserves a right to own a gun. That's your thing. But I'm not understanding why. What's the problem with background checks? Why do these guys have a problem with that? Even gun manufacturers, you're going to sell your guns if somebody has to wait a little while longer. But here's the thing for me: if you've seen the footage of some of those fairs and those straw purchasing, those county fairs, that looks like anybody could just roll. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, you guys watching out there on the news, but to me it looks like anybody could roll in, buy a gun. It looks to be very loose. It's a very loose kind of environment where people just, it's like a swap meet. In L.A. they have swap meets, they're flea markets. Looks like somebody could just come in there, buy what they want, and they've, you know, everybody has seen some of these investigative reporters where people have gone in, bought the weapons and leave out. And I'm not understanding why, you know, we're not more vigilant. And what is the thing? I mean, I do understand why people talk about their guns and they want to hold on to it because of Second Amendment rights and, you know, the Minutemen and all that. But come on, what?
I think a lot of the gun advocates is that it's a slippery slope. Once you start down that slope, okay, where do they stop? Okay,
right.
If you give them, you know, a foot, and they'll take a mile.
Right.
And I think that's what some of the gun advocates are concerned with, is how far it would go if it starts there.
Right. And I agree with them on that. And I'm one to be in agreement. You know, let's really keep an eye on them. But, you know, if things go the way that they fear that they're going to go, let's say, you know, you give your guns, everybody has your guns, and there becomes a time when Americans must stand up against their government. Your little shotgun ain't going to do it to what the bad guys have. You know, they have access, or your assault, what you have. I mean, you fight with what you have, and I believe that, should there come a time where, you know, you have to stand up against tyranny. But you understand that, you know, if anybody who's been to a military installation or visited or is a member of the military knows that the kind of weapons they have that the public is probably not even aware about would kind of probably neutralize some of the weapons that they have. Hopefully, you know, God forbid it'll never come the way. And also, too, the fact that they want to talk about it more, there's a black dude that's president, all of that. Yeah, that talk
comes
into it.
And yeah. I think the reason why is they think that there's going to be a revolution, you know, black against white. And so these gun control people, these gun owners, you know, with these assault rifles and weapons, they don't need those.
Well,
they think they're back in the Civil War days.
Well, I don't know if they all think that. I mean, there are some that think that, of course, and some in these groups or these hate groups and things like that.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, you just want them – you want them to have their rights, and we understand the slippery slope, but – there has to be something about a background. I mean, what they're concerned about is being on some sort of list of all gun owners.
I think that's exactly where they're coming from. If you register it, that means you're permanently on a list of what you have.
Right.
So if there is ever an issue that comes out, you know, I'm against the government, and then they're going to come and know
who's got what guns and how much I have,
and, you know, and then come after me, my First Amendment rights. But that all has to be, you know, tailored and looked at in the broader picture of, you know, what's important for America.
Right.
You know, what's important for our children.
Right.
Okay. How do we protect the children through these horrendous
and
becoming more and more frequent
violent
activities by unstable individuals?
Right. And that's the unstable individuals are putting something in jeopardy. So they say enforce these books, have them to background check. But, you know,
that's the issue right now. Background checks.
Right.
Wasn't there a vote today?
Right.
Yeah, it failed.
Yeah.
The most party lines, do you know?
Yes.
For the most part, there were a few Democrats that agreed with the Republicans. They said they were in red states. So,
but the majority voted for, you know, the background checks.
The majority of people that were against background checks were Republicans. The majority of people before are Democrats. Then they say that there are 90% of Americans believe sort of background checks should be had. And I'm inclined to agree with that. Or
sure,
we define a way that guns should be in the hands of mentally stable. We know that criminals basically are
criminals always going to find a way to get guns. But however, it's who shouldn't have guns or are unstable that need to be looked at.
Yeah, but we stop making them. Stop making guns. Then nobody has. You know, let's stop making guns. Then nobody has them. So, except for the bad guys in the government. So,
yeah, but the UK, Britain,
right?
Now they can do without, you know, guns. So they're not supposed to have guns in the UK, right?
Yeah.
You know, their culture.
You mean the average citizen?
The average citizen. Yes. You know more about that?
No, so. I don't actually. I just know that you have a
about it. So we're going to be dealing with that next time now, you know, has it on the air.
We have the congressman now. Or are you able to get through, congressman?
Yes, good evening. How are you?
How you doing?
Hi, Donald. Congressman. Janice Holder.
I'm doing well.
Janice Holder.
How's everyone?
We're doing great. We're doing great up here. Just wondering how you guys are doing down there. You know, there's a lot of activity down there on the Capitol in terms of first security measures. And we know that something was sent to a senator's office, some poison-laced letter. Are you familiar with that? Have you heard anything about that? And
yes. As members of Congress, we were all notified of the event that took place in the congressman's office. And if I'm not mistaken, one was sent to the White House as well. We met with the head of the Secret Service this morning in a briefing in Homeland Security. The new director, the first female in the organization's history, gave us a briefing on both what they're doing to assist the FBI in their investigation in Boston, and also to talk to us about moving her organization forward and the Ryerson letter attack.
Mm-hmm. And so you guys just received a briefing on all that's being done and kind of the details.
Yeah, We have been in constant contact with the FBI, National Security, and Homeland Security. Director Mueller of the FBI and Secretary Napolitano of Homeland Security and the General from National Security briefed us yesterday in a closed session to members only that was classified, so I really can't discuss what came out of that, but
right.
We were given details on everything that was going on and efforts being made in terms of determining who the culprits were in this hideous act that we saw transpire in Boston on Monday, and they were very reassured that they would be able to gather information that would lead to the capture of the culprits. So it appears that they have a person of interest. The one good thing that I can say that was discussed is that it's wide knowledge that Boston is one of the most heavily cameraed cities in the nation, and they just figured it was just a matter of time before they were able to determine who persons of interest and suspicious-looking characters over the past several days have been in that area. So it appears that their hard work has paid off.
And you guys as well are paying attention to this as a Homeland Security issue as well, in case it's something that moves along those lines. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. This is definitely a case of terrorism, whether it was homegrown or a foreign national, it has been declared an act of terrorism. To have an incident such as that in such a public place with so many people involved from all over the world, that it was definitely automatically characterized as a terrorist attack. So naturally, the Department of Homeland Security goes into action along with the FBI and the Boston Police and the Massachusetts State Police, and the Secret Service is facilitating the FBI in any way they can. Their expertise in this is, helping them go through the hours and hours of camera surveillance, which is one of their expertise in having to protect the president. So it's something that they do on a...
Hello?
We lost him.
Well, we seem to have lost the congressman. I don't know if he's still on the line, but If he is able to hear, I'm going to ask you to...
No, we lost him.
...to call back.
Yeah.
We unfortunately lost him. But as you can see, your congressman here, is certainly in the 10th District, is on top of the matter and paying close attention to that and trying to do what he has to do to make sure the constituents and the residents of the 10th District are...
One thing I want to say, too, Eric, is now that you're back, you know, on the East Coast, I understand that you and Donald are in close contact all the time. You've been down in Washington. You go back and forth also. And so this is a new segment where this is part of the political roundtable. So this is a congressional report. So we'll be getting that, you know, frequently from Congressman Payne, who's right in Congress at the time. We've talked to him when he left voting on one issue, you know, a couple, you know, we didn't get a chance to tell him that you were here.
Right.
So,
well, he heard from Janice. You know, it's interesting.
Oh,
it's good for people to know that exactly what their representatives are doing.
Yeah.
That is something of this day and age and technology that is so fantastic that we really have the opportunity to be really in touch with our congressmen and senators and the like, and what Congressman Payne is doing. In this case, is keeping, you know, his constituents and all those in the United States and worldwide abreast of what's happening, if you will, play by play. It's a fantastic event, what you're doing here, and keeping everyone, you know, on top of what's happening.
Yeah,
it's extremely important to understand how government affects our lives. And in this day and age, and being in the airport industry where you see a terrorist attack, and I go back to 9/11.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was in the airport and I saw.
Were you?
I physically saw the buildings fall. It was, and they were walking through the airport. The Secret Service and the military with AK rifles, you know, just trying to get clearing everything out. So being abreast of what's happening and what Congressman Payne is talking about, that this is clearly an act of terror, and it affects everything.
Everybody.
Look what happened in Boston.
Yeah.
They stopped all flights. I mean, I'm in the airport industry.
They
stopped all flights.
In all airports?
No, leaving out of Boston. So
if
you were leaving out of Boston at that point in time, you were not leaving. And then followed up and at LaGuardia Airport just recently, there was a bomb scare, and they evacuated the entire building. So Congressman Payne being Homeland Security, you know, that is a very responsible position, you know, for the protection, you know, of our country and of our citizens.
Right. In particular, of our area, obviously,